Good morning. My name is Reverend Randall Massengill. I'm the pastor at Lafayette First United Methodist Church. We are located at 301 South Main Street in Lafayette, Georgia. Our worship services are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to worship with you.
Today's scripture lesson is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 31 through 33 and 44 through 52. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? They answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
May we pray. Almighty God, we are very thankful for the opportunity to hear your word this day. Plant your kingdom in our hearts so that it may flourish and grow and mean the most in everything to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Jesus doesn't just give us one more parable or two more or three more or four more. He gives us 5 more parables. The one that I want to focus on today is the one that he talks about concerning the merchant and the pearl. About the merchant who was looking for the perfect pearl, so he goes and he finds it, and he sells everything to purchase that one perfect pearl. Do you ever overthink anything? Have you ever thought, overthink this? I overthink things a lot. Let's overthink this parable, shall we? Let's overthink it. There was a merchant. Well, what does a merchant do? Well, they make money. They sell things. Well, so here we have a merchant who sells things, makes his living by selling things. He's going to buy one pearl. He's looking for one pearl, and he finds it, and he sells everything he has to gain it. Now he's got one pearl to sell. Now, isn't that what a merchant does? No. Are you overthinking it with me? Doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? This is what happens when we overthink parables. We overthink them. What is a parable about? It is about a heavenly thing using earthly things to help describe it, because you can't describe heavenly things in ways that you and I completely understand. They're metaphors, but like systematic theology, they began to sort of run out after a while, because there's nothing really perfect on earth to describe that which is in heaven. That's why we pray that things on earth may become as things are in heaven. It is our goal. It is our desire. One of the things that Jesus wants us to know is about the kingdom of God and what it is like. In Matthew, we hear it called what it is like, the kingdom of heaven. But in Matthew and Mark, well, Mark and Luke especially, it talks about the kingdom of God. In Matthew, it talks about the kingdom of heaven. Same thing. Matthew uses heaven where Mark and Luke uses God. It's the same place. Or is it a place? When John the Baptist was in the river preaching, he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Now, however you and I interpret the kingdom of heaven, if we describe it as a place, as geography, as a place on the map, then that's one thing. But if you and I describe the kingdom of heaven as a reign, as someone who reigns in mind in your heart, then that is another place. Jesus is the one who comes to tell us that the kingdom of heaven has drawn near. Who is the kingdom of heaven? Well, it's Jesus. He has drawn near. What does Jesus want to do? He wants to communicate that God wants to reign in mind in your heart. He wants to bring us all together. How does that happen? By us repenting, changing our minds about who we are and who He says we are. God wants us to know that He wants to give His best to you and me. What we may not realize is that we are God's pearl of great price. You and I were purchased with the most precious thing that God has. What did He have? He had one only son. Did He give His second son? No. His third son? No. His fourth son? No. Because He only had what? One son. He gives the only son He has, the best He has, the only thing He has for you and me. So here we have a merchant who's seeking after one pearl, and he gives his all to have it. Well, the pearl is a metaphor for the kingdom. I ask you and I ask me, what one thing is worth yours and my everything? What one thing is worth our everything? Let's think about that a moment. What are some things that you and I have invested a lot of time in? Well, if we had a job that we had to go to school, we have a lot of time in our job because we had to go to school to get our job. When I received the calling into the ministry, I had to drive to Berry College from Pleasant Hill every day. So there was some time on the road, time in class. That was time invested. Then when I went to seminary, I moved to Ellijay, and thank God they built Highway 525 or 575 over there for me. I'm very thankful that they did that. And we had purchased a little Toyota Sentra, I believe it was. A little Toyota Sentra, four-cylinder Sentra. And I got up and drove back and forth to Candler for 3 years. A lot of time invested in that. A lot of time. That was something that I put first in my life. Sacrificed a lot of time going to school. I look at pictures of Anna and Rachel and Timothy, and I ask Mary, were they ever really that small? I'm sure there were times when I would come home that my children would say to my wife, "Who's that?" She would say, "This is your father." A lot of time that we spend. One thing that we invest everything in, our families. That's one thing that oftentimes we invest everything. I mean, how much would we do for our family? I mean, anything. Moms and dads would do anything for their children, their grandchildren. I mean, when our grandchildren come in the parsonage, I want you to know that your pastor's wife is so proud of the house that you have provided us to live in that she keeps it spick and span. It is clean. She takes very good care of it. There's times when I will say to her, "Oh, that lady dog come in and run around." And you know what she says? No. No. N-O. It is very, very nice. When you come in, if you popped in, it would be very, very clean and very, very nice. It's all I can do to let her let the grandchildren in. Because when the grandchildren come in, it is not left in order. It is put in, yes, you know, it is put in chaos. But is it one thing worth everything? Of course it is. Of course it is. Because our love for one another allows us and encourages us to vest everything in this. Same way in church, what we invest in our children and our youth and our staff, all, it's our everything. We put what we can, we sacrifice, we give, it's everything because it is worth our everything. I ask you to think about some things that maybe you and I have put first in our life that we've given everything to that maybe wasn't worth our everything. Have you ever put anything in something that you thought was going to be worth something and then all of a sudden it turned out not to be as valuable as you once thought? Have you ever put everything in something and then all of a sudden it disappointed you? It failed you? And then all of a sudden we had to rethink, wow, I thought that was the first thing that I needed to put everything into. But maybe it wasn't. And maybe today you and I are here wondering, what should that first thing be that we give our everything to? Well, you and I know what it is. That's why we're here. We put our everything and give our everything to the one whom we call Lord, Jesus. And it's interesting what he wants, isn't it? He wants our sins. Can you imagine? Can you think of anybody who wants our sins? I mean, would you like to have my sins? I don't think so. Would I like to have yours? Let's don't even go there. But Jesus says, I want your sins. Give them to me. I'll take them. I'll take them. You know, even though you and I may have relatives and maybe they have a past, you know, they are our relatives. You know, isn't it interesting how you and I can talk about our family, but if anybody else does, we get all upset. Isn't that weird? Isn't that kind of strange, you know? I think God may feel the same way. If anyone's going to condemn you and me, it's going to be him. And you know what? He says, I haven't come to condemn. I've come to save. And I don't want to hear anybody else condemn my children. Because if anyone's going to condemn them, if anyone's going to hold them and point out to them what's wrong with them, I will do that because I'm the one who knows them. And I'm not going to choose to do that. I'm going to choose to forgive and I'm going to choose to love. And if that's what I choose, that's what I want everyone else to choose. God gave his everything for one thing, and that's for you, and that's for me. A pearl of great price, a pearl worth everything. I just sort of wonder today, what is the number one thing in mine and your life that we have given our all to? You know, when you and I accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, we cease to be our own. We are no longer our own person. We belong to Jesus. Therefore, God entrusts us with ourselves. Therefore, how people treat you and me, how we let people treat us, God takes that pretty personal. If you and I let people abuse us and accuse us and we don't take up for ourselves, God's not too pleased with you and me because we're valuable people and He entrusts you and me to take care of ourselves because we no longer belong to ourselves. He doesn't want anybody walking on us, and we shouldn't let anybody do that. We should take up for one another. If anyone says anything about each other, we shouldn't want to even go there. Because we do not belong to ourselves. We belong to God. Can you imagine, have you ever borrowed something from someone and you took special care of it? I mean, why did you take special care of it? Because why? Well, have you ever loaned anybody anything and got it back a different way? I'll never forget, there was this couple, I won't mention where it was, and they wanted to borrow a wheelbarrow. Well, I had a wheelbarrow, so I did the Christian thing. I gave it to them to borrow. Well, it had a real nice wheel on it, and when it came back, I noticed it wasn't a nice wheel. What had happened was that they had broken it, but they did a good thing. They replaced it, but they replaced it with something cheaper than what I had on it. I know I should be thankful I got my wheelbarrow back. But sometimes, brothers and sisters, We are to take care of those things that God gives us that doesn't belong to us. And that's one another. You don't belong to me. I don't belong to you. You and I belong to Jesus. And how I talk to you and how you talk to me, we need to remember just who we belong to. Because we are the one thing that Jesus gave His everything to. Because He loved His daddy. He loved His father. And there was nothing too good for God to save you and me with. And there's nothing too good that you and I can hold back to give our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. May we pray. There are so many things in our life, O Lord, that we claim as first. But you say that we should first seek the kingdom of God first and its righteousness. And we do seek that righteousness in Jesus Christ, who put us right with God by dying on the cross and making us one with you and with Him. You say, O Lord, that it is your good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Therefore, O Lord, today, if we would just reach out and receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, then we are in the kingdom. It is a gift. And how we live in appreciation, O Lord, we pray that we would always make you first in all that we do. And we know that we struggle with that. We know that we are not always perfect in doing that, if ever. Yet, O Lord, we are aware that we are first in your life. Because everything that you did for us to the glory and honor of your Son. And you forgive us for the sake of Christ. You love us for His sake. You forgive us and you promise us for His sake. So today, O Lord, we ask that we might be able to surrender those things in our life that challenges us to make you first in our life. And we know, O Lord, it is an ongoing thing. Each and every day, we pray we do better than the day before. So today, O Lord, we sing that we surrender all, knowing good and well that we haven't yet. But singing it knowing that each and every day we will try to do a little bit more. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit we pray. Amen. Thank you again for allowing us to worship with you on this Lord's Day. We look forward to worshiping with you again. God bless you.